welcome to the VitaFoods Insights podcast. Join us as we explore the latest science and innovation, helping the global health and nutrition industry connect, develop, and progress. Today's host is Carla Hill, contributing editor.
Hello, and welcome to another VitaFoods Insights podcast. I'm Carla Hill, contributing editor at VitaFoods Insights. I'm delighted to be hosting Tom Smale today. Tom is the co-founder of Wonder Workshop, a London-based functional food brand making organic and ethically sourced turmeric-based products. Wonder Workshop focuses on consumption with purpose, and the decisions made at Wonder Workshop are based on a set of ethical and sustainable values to promote a transparent relationship between grower and consumer. I'm really excited to be talking with Tom today about what it means to be a sustainable and ethically responsible functional food business. Tom, welcome and thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hey Carla, thanks for having me.
My pleasure, it's great to have you. I wonder if maybe we could start off today's show by asking you to tell us a bit in your own words about you, your background and how you came to fund Wonder Workshop.
My partner and I, Zoe, started Wonder Workshop back in 2014 and we had been toying with various food concepts at the time, ranging from chocolate to chia pots. But at this time, Zoe was actually visiting Sri Lanka with her late mother and came across turmeric because it was in the food, of course, but also in the drinks, in baths and all sorts of things. And really, she learned about how it was used as a medicinal remedy in food, but also outside of that, in skincare and so on as well. And so it kind of struck us that turmeric was this really powerful, amazing spice, and we wanted to do something with it. Now, my background is actually in pharmacology, and so this was also one of the ingredients that I could look at back then into the scientific studies, and I found that there were over 1,400 scientific studies on turmeric and curcumin and its various Wow. health benefits. So for me, it really struck out as well as something that is obviously an ingredient which is used in Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine and has been tested anecdotally for thousands of years, and that needs to be honored, but it's now being proven by sort of Western medicine and science that we know and that I grew up with. And so that was, yeah, really powerful. And that's how we started. We actually started with a golden milk, which is a at the time, it was a fresh, ready-to-drink product that we produced in a commercial kitchen in Acton twice a week. And it wasn't the most elegant of businesses at the time. It wasn't the most efficient. And that was our naivety going into the food world. But it's grown from there. And we are still working with a lot of the same suppliers that we started with now 7-8 years on.
That's great. And I know kind of at the time, turmeric lattes kind of in the West and in the UK and Europe weren't kind of as big a thing as they are today, right? Can you tell us a bit more about that? You were kind of one of the first bringing turmeric lattes to the UK and London.
Yeah, of course. It was definitely a new concept when we started. So we brought the fresh drink onto the Portobello Road market in London, and we basically just got out there and sampled it as much as we could, get it in people's hands and see what they thought. And it took a lot of explanation. I think the first 2 years of our business was really trying to teach people about the various health benefits of turmeric and that it can be consumed in other things rather than just curries. And what we found was actually a lot of people were already taking turmeric supplements in tablet form and were really open to trying out this kind of new ingredient, or at least, you know, an ingredient that was seen in a new format, which was really exciting. Of course, there was a lot of education at the beginning. We did have to kind of repeat ourselves over and over again, but it's definitely worth spreading that message because I think it's been an interest in turmeric has grown exponentially since then.
At Wonder Workshop, you guys talk a lot about consumption with purpose. Can you tell us a bit about kind of what this means to you and how do you define being a responsible and sustainable business?
Yeah, I think for us, it's really important as kind of conscious citizens ourselves. We try to have more thought about each decision that we make personally and as a business. And I think it's our responsibility as businesses, being the ones who provide customers with the options that they have in the supermarket aisle or online with products, with services that are mutually beneficial to the customers, of course, but also to the environment and the people who are providing each sort of element along the path of that journey of that product. And so for us, consumption with purpose really means about producing products that are beneficial to the customer and have been thought through. They are based on research and our own personal experiences as well, but they provide a sort of full circle element that goes from the packaging, which is recyclable or home compostable and has minimal impact on the environment, and also benefiting the people who supply the ingredients as well. So supporting their traditional methods of farming, which for us in Sri Lanka is known as forest gardening and agroforestry. And then, you know, making sure that they are being supported financially as well. Ultimately, it's them and their passion that puts the ingredients into our products. And without that energy, I don't think that we would have as good and as powerful products that we have to offer.
That's great. And could you tell us a bit more in a bit more detail about kind of the sustainable agricultural practices? I'd love to hear more about forest gardening, for example, and how you guys are implementing these practices with your farmers in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, so as a business, we vote for the world that we want to live in with every penny that we spend as a business. And supporting that sort of traditional way of farming isn't necessarily changing old farmers into something new, which is actually what conventional farming kind of has been doing over the last, you know, few decades. And we're seeing a lot of pressure on some of our farmers to change over to using pesticides and monocropping their land. And what agroforestry does is it really works with diversity. It thrives on the concept of diversity in the land. So for instance, you have turmeric growing in the shade of black pepper trees and cinnamon. And so that diversity helps to improve the soil nutrient quality and improves the nutrient density, which in turn helps the plants to grow into stronger, more adaptable forms, which are higher in nutrients and are less reliant on inputs and, you know, external fertilizers and so on. And it also provides the farmers with more financial security. If one crop fails because of the climate, there are other options for them to harvest, to sell on their land, and of course, eat themselves. So it's a really kind of more about a relationship with the land that they have and not using pesticides, encouraging that biodiversity to produce a more stable and a higher quality product.
And I'm sure a lot of this kind of incentive and pressure really to respect our supply chain and respect our farmers comes from consumers. I know there's just a lot more talk at the moment about the demand that consumers have for kind of ethically sourced products. Why do you think that people are becoming more interested in ethical consumption?
I think that people are taking more care to spend the money that they have with potential financial crashes looming, and of course, health being the number one subject of the moment of the last year or so, people are really investing in their health, and they want to know where their ingredients are coming from. They want to know who's grown it. They want to know where, you know, the clothes are coming from, how they're being manufactured and so on. And so understanding the origin and really paying respect to those origins, I think, is becoming more and more important. I believe that consumers are willing to pay a little bit extra for that and for knowing that the care has been taken to provide something that is higher quality, that is of more of an artisan produce rather than mass produce, and the way that it kind of and sort of having a more harmful effect on the environment. So people are definitely becoming more conscious of their own personal impact. And that's what we try and connect that sort of communication between farmers and consumers through our own products, so that we are kind of opening up a little bit more about the origins and the farmers and how they work.
That's great, and it's really inspiring really to hear there is that kind of respectful line of connection that brands can open up between consumers and farmers and supply chain. It's interesting that you say that people are kind of prepared to pay a premium for ethically sourced products, which understandably because, you know, we're paying the farmers the amount that they deserve to be paid and we're paying them much more than mass produced product companies would pay, that they're a bit more expensive. But does this create a problem for you guys? There's a kind of tension then between creating a product which values its supply chain in the kind of appropriate way, but then can maybe create a kind of accessibility problem for your consumers. Do you ever find that then, you know, there could be an issue that you can't make your products as affordable as you'd like, and then that will kind of narrow your consumer base and you won't be able to maybe offer them to people who might not be able to afford products that are then good for their health?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that we constantly wrestle with. The kind of catch point for us is, obviously, we want to include as many people as we can and make our products available to them by lowering the price. The ultimate cost of that is that we have to squeeze the farmers and the producers. They're the ones at the kind of the bottom of the chain who will feel it the most if we were to lower our product prices. And there needs to be room for all of us, I believe. And whether that's making sure that we are more respectful with the way that we work as a business. I think that in terms of kind of making products more accessible, it often comes down to where they're sold as well. We often have to give up, you know, a 50% margin to retailers who will take a lot of that. Obviously, they're paying for, you know, brick and mortar space, but that's where a lot of the cost is actually added. And so there is a way to get product down, but that's by being more direct with the consumers.
Interesting. And I can see there that kind of communication with consumers is really important. I know we talked a little bit earlier about educating consumers and making sure that we have that kind of engaged community of consumers. How do you ensure that? How do you engage your consumers? What channels do you use?
Social media, of course, that's been an amazing tool over the last few years, Instagram in particular, just to be able to put out information, to share stories, to share our own journey as well, and our own understanding of the ingredients and our own research and so on has been, using Instagram and Facebook has been a massive channel for us. And really only in the last year or so, we started to do paid work with those channels, but it's really about maintaining a constant evolving conversation with the consumer and, you know, engaging them, seeing what they're interested in as well, providing them with the right ethical and environmental options that they can provide, that we can offer, sorry, and just trying to engage them, trying to educate as much as possible about the ingredients that we're using, where they're coming from, and the traditions that we are trying to support by doing so.
Thanks, Tom. And it's great to hear that, you know, huge steps that Wonder Workshop have been making as an ethical business. But I'm sure there are many challenges that come with that. What would you say are the kind of key challenges that come with being an ethical business?
I think there's an evolving challenge, which is kind of the expectation of consumers as well as what is actually available with packaging. Packaging seems to be the hardest sort of challenge that we have faced, especially, you know, minimizing our environmental impact. There are difficulties with getting products with the right shelf life, for instance, that is over 6 months when using packaging that is home compostable. And it's about educating the consumers as well about the difference between best before end and used by dates and so on. So that to minimize waste, there is a constant kind of catch-22 position that we find ourselves in a business where to lower our prices, we have to produce in higher quantities and to manufacture our products in higher quantities. But to do so requires the products to then sell quickly because the packaging that we use is not going to be as stable as a sort of multi-layered plastic pouch, which many companies use. And that poses issues for us, but we just try and educate as much as we can, try share the journey and share those issues and be honest as a company to say that this is why we have these best before end dates and so on.
While we're on the subject of packaging, can you tell us more? So you said that you don't use the same kind of solution that other companies do in terms of plastic. What kind of materials do you use and how do you ensure that your packaging is sustainable?
We use a lot of paper and card in our products. So our turmeric latte blends, for instance, they are in a paper carton, and then inside is actually a home compostable pouch, which you can basically put onto your own food waste bin, and that'll decompose. And, you know, that has, yeah, decreased our shelf life time from 18 months to 12 months for some products. But I think that it's definitely worth it in the long run. Yeah, I think it came to us, you know, when we first started that we didn't want producing thousands of products which would end up onto landfill. So to be able to create different components in our packaging as well. We use cornstarch packing pellets as void fill for all of our orders instead of a sort of polystyrene mess. And that's been a real kind of eye-opener. And actually, a lot of customers do reach out and say, I was surprised that you're using these polystyrene pellets, but they're actually the cornstarch ones. So people are really aware of this and they want to have as minimal an impact as they possibly can.
That's great. And I know sometimes it can be hard for brands to make the transition to a more sustainable packaging solution, but I'm sure that many brand owners listening will be really kind of inspired by you guys as a case study of how that can be possible. Tom, you're currently in the process of becoming a B Corp. And for those who are listening and are unsure what that means, certified B Corporations are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, legal accountability, to kind of make that balance of profit and purpose like we've been talking about today, really. Can you tell us about this process and how you've been getting on becoming a B Corp?
Yeah, it's a very long-winded process, really. And what's great about it is it does shine a light on everything as a business that you can do or should be doing to really improve the kind of ethical standpoint that we are, and, you know, covering things from where we source our electricity from to how we treat our employees. It's a really kind of broad scope, and it does take some time to actually get through and to gather all of that information. We're now sort of powered by solar, so understanding that, but that's only just recently happened. And so covering each aspect and being accountable for that is something that's really important. And that's what B Corp will help us to do.
That's great. And I know we talked a little bit about various challenges. And I know that it's great that kind of initiatives like B Corp can kind of help us shine light on those and overcome those. And I'm sure one of those has been the pandemic. Has it posed difficulties for you connecting closely with your supply chain and kind of maybe being able to visit your farms and that kind of thing?
Yes, a key part of our own supply chain standards has been visiting the farms that we work with and ensuring that everything is to the kind of criteria that we stand by and different farming methods that are being used and ensuring that there are no pesticides and so on. And we always like to explore and work with new ingredients as well to create new products. So the pandemic has had a massive impact on that part of our business as well, but not least because of the way that it has shaped the global market for spices, for instance. Even President Modi of India declared to drink golden milk to help prevent colds and flus during the pandemic. So, you know, immediately turmeric prices in Sri Lanka and India rose because, you know, they were consuming more turmeric locally. And that's something that we have to respect as a global business and, you know, where we source our ingredients from as well. And that's, you know, a cost that we would have to take on our own part. But, you know, the travel aspect is still hindering us at the moment, but we're able still to communicate, fortunately, through WhatsApp, through Skype calls and so on. This is all, you know, we're still able to make contact and stay in touch, which is great.
That is great. And while we're on the topic of being a global business, how do you navigate the challenges of sensitively bringing traditional herbs and spices from a variety of cultures across the globe to consumer base, which is kind of predominantly Western?
We are very aware of this, and it's a topic that, you know, has been growing more and more is we just try to respect those cultures, educate our consumers who are predominantly in the UK and Europe a little bit more about where their ingredients are coming from, and to give, you know, farmers more of a voice and share their stories, because ultimately, as I said, it's their passion which goes into the ingredients and how they're produced, which is what our customers can benefit from. And, you know, being able to respect those cultures and not just kind of claiming it as a fad ingredient and something that can be utilized for your own personal growth, but really learning about how it's traditionally used and grown and respecting those cultures is really important for us. We just try and honor those traditions and share that as much as we can.
Thanks, Tom. And I'd love to hear a bit about your 1% promise. How do you choose which causes that you give back to?
There are two elements to that. We have been working closely with one partner called Jaguar Simba. It's a reforestation project in Colombia, in the Nevada de Santa Marta. And we've been supporting them with this reforestation project, which helps to protect indigenous people's land, which is under threat from illegal forestry and so on. So by supporting the project, it helps them to claim their land and to market it for their purposes. And also working with a social enterprise called Ama Sri Lanka, which means mother in Sinhalese. And that is the project that we've been working with that helps to educate and train mothers who typically have come from tea farming fields and retraining them into textiles and using natural dyes, things like avocado and turmeric, to sort of dye the textiles as well. So those are the kind of two main projects that we've supported, but we also ad hoc donate to causes that we think are really beneficial. You know, we've donated to Grenfell, which was a very local issue for us in London, and a few other projects along the way. So it's 1% that we use to try and support projects that we feel very passionately about.
That's amazing. And generally, it's just been so fascinating to kind of hear the way in which you guys are really leading the way for sustainable, functional food businesses. What's the future of Wonder Workshop and sustainable innovation in the nutraceutical and functional food space, would you say?
Well, as I said, there's loads of developments in packaging and how products can be packaged. And we are looking at that at the moment for a new range that we have coming out. And, you know, there are some very exciting prospects, things like mushroom grown packaging. So it's, you know, growing mushrooms rather than using waste foods to package products, which is very exciting. There are many challenges with that. However, of course, because you're dealing with something that is kind of alive and produced for that product in a sort of more short time scale, but there's lots of developments in there. And the packaging industry is constantly evolving, and there are new innovations happening all of the time. So it's about keeping track of that and keeping one eye open to see the latest options that are available and providing that to our customers if it's viable, and, you know, really having the benefits that they claim to have.
I love that story about mushroom packaging. I think it will be really inspirational for kind of brand owners listening to hear the kind of innovations that are out there. And speaking of which, what advice would you give to other businesses who are like you trying to implement more sustainable practices in their supply chain?
Yeah, I guess the thing would be to just really focus on creating services or products that are driven by your own passion, and then taking a step back and really assessing how this can be done in the most environmentally friendly, ethically sourced way, ensuring that all parts of your supply chain and obviously the consumers as well are benefiting. Because I think that business should not be a transaction where one party is gaining. It should be really everyone is winning. And with that kind of more positive attitude to any relationship, any agreement that you make as a business, that shares a more sort of positive attitude into the final products and into the world that we would hopefully want to create.
Thanks, Tom. I think that wraps us up really nicely for today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you and hear all of your insights about what it means to be a sustainable and ethical business. And I'm sure we'll see you again very soon.